The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
And it's a big hello to you again on Afternoons with Mike. I'm here each and every day at this time to talk about and with some individual who is doing something for the glory of God in the kingdom of God, whether it be locally or nationally. And I've got a guy right now that's doing both. I've got with me today Drake Wirtz. Drake is in the professional wrestling business. The first time I've ever talked to anybody who both was a wrestler, a pro wrestler at that, and also now you do refereeing. So you're the guy wearing the striped shirt in the middle of those big dudes that just pound each other, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm the man calling it down the middle and laying down the law, so to speak, in the middle of the ring. And I can tell you through my years of 12 years of being an active professional wrestler, refereeing hurts a whole lot less, sir.
I'm sure that is true. Right. And, you know, we'll get into the deeper part of the wrestling world. And I loved what your description about what a wrestler has to be about. I'd love for you to give that to our listeners, because I think it's really important to realize, first of all, that we all know that there's a part of this that is for fun, mm-hmm. and it is entertaining without a doubt, but there are plenty of real aspects about pain and injuries that happen to, I would imagine, even referees.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. The way I like to explain it is that professional wrestlers, they are live-action stuntmen with one take in front of a live audience, mm-hmm. where a million people or more are watching at home live on TV as well. And they also have to be the greatest actors in the world, the greatest entertainers in the world. Mm-hmm. And their main job is to put smiles on faces. And in doing so, also in, you know, quote unquote, normal times, they're on the road 200, 250 days a year away from their families as well. And so, you know, I've seen the worst of the injuries, and one of my duties as well is I help build the rings. You know, it's just some wood planks and a thin mat. It is not the trampoline that the misconception that a lot of people have as far as what the ring is actually made of.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
When you, they are incredibly tough.
It definitely has some give to it and some bounce. That's easy. But you hear the sound,
mm-hmm.
and that's not fake. That's not rubber. That's not sponge.
Absolutely. No, sir.
You're hitting some wood on that. And and when you're jumping down from 5 feet up and you're landing on your head, that can't be good.
It is not. No. There is. I wish there was a factory that made these rubber steel chairs that people talk about. They're actually steel chairs.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And there are all sorts of, I would imagine, stories that when you have family get-togethers, there has to be something really fun that's going on around that table to hear some of the stories that you share. I can't believe it. Now, the most exciting thing about today is the fact that the greatest story in the world, which is the gospel of Jesus, that is something that you've taken part with as well. And you're here today, not just because of the fact that you're a professional wrestler and now a referee, but more importantly, you're a child of God. Tell us about how that happened.
Yes, sir. You know, I grew up in southern Indiana, and I grew up in spending a lot of time in my grandparents' home. And they were God-fearing people, missionaries. Mm-hmm. They went to Jamaica in the 90s several times on mission trips. And I first got baptized when I was 10 years old. I'll never forget it. It was Christmas Day of 1994. You know, I can always remember every Sunday my grandparents coming to pick me up and take me to church. And within my life at home, through my, you know, I had a very young mother and a very young father, and they divorced earlier on in my life, unfortunately. And, you know, they were not living a life following the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being able to be around my grandparents a lot, it gave me that security, and it gave me that, you know, just that love of Jesus Christ. And coming up in the church, it was truly incredible. And, you know, like a lot of young men, once I became a teenager, I walked away from the Lord. I went along a life of sin, and I'd always believed in him. But then he became almost like a God I would just talk to when I was in trouble, if that makes sense, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord, please don't help me get pulled over right now. Right. You know what I mean? And like a lot of, like a lot of testimonies that I'm sure you've heard, I went into a life of drugs and alcohol and got deep into addiction, spent a lot of years in active addiction. And then I met my, who became my beautiful wife, Valerie. We were actually neighbors in Indiana, and it was so God. Oh, my goodness. It's just amazing just to see how our God works. We were neighbors in Indiana, and we ended up getting married and had our first child. And I was still trying to hold on to that life of sin, Mike, just trying to, almost telling myself a lie, like, hey, I can live both these lives. Mm-hmm. I can be a dad, yeah, and I can still kind of party and, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of the professional wrestling world is what I was trying to hold on to. But then, the Lord cried out to me, and my wife gave me the rebuking that I needed. Mm. And she said, this life is done. You're either going to put down the drugs, put down the alcohol, and be a father and follow God, or we're gone. And, I prayed to a God that I didn't necessarily know at that time. And my goodness, he loved me. Other people prayed me into those rooms where I was in the rooms of recovery around other godly men. And I got to see how they grew in their relationship with Christ and how they overcame addiction. And that led me to recommitting my life to Christ. And here I am sitting before you today by the grace of God, 10 years clean and sober. And so I'm able to share my testimony with other young men and be able to let them know that, hey, that life of sin, it is not worth it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, following Christ and he went from just being on my list somewhere, Mike, to being at the top of my list.
Wow.
To where now he gets all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I go to him each and every single morning. My friend Pete Alwoodson, which I'm sure you know, he likes to call it that daily appointment with God, the dog. Mike, that is so critical for me. It really is. So, God is just so good from bringing a wretched sinner like me from the depths of sin and drug addiction to where I'm at today as a father of three and a leader in my community.
It's a wonderful thing to have the kind of people that you've just mentioned with Pete Alwinson, who's a regular on this program. He's been here with me many times. And Welton James, another person that I know you would have met with. And he wrote a book called Weltonisms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. I have it. And it's fun to read. It really is. But it is so important whether or not a person is just coming into the kingdom or whether they've been around a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Having what you talk about, number one, that DAG, the daily appointment with God. I love the dog.
The dog, yeah.
That's a great acronym to use to help you remember. But then secondly, having that ability to have people around you to continue to encourage you. It's not like a dunk 'em and drop 'em type of a mentality that I think a lot of people see with reaching out to other people. And it's almost like we have this concept. There was one Baptist preacher years ago that used to talk about that. He said the trouble with a lot of people is that a lot of pastors is we want to dunk them and drop them. There needs to be discipleship. There Absolutely. Needs to be time. And that doesn't happen overnight.
Right. A lot of times you just hear about the two B's, budgets and baptisms. And, it goes more than that. Mm-hmm. We need to, Christ commands us to gather together. And I love meeting with Pete each and every single Tuesday. For those out there that in the Central Florida area, I highly encourage each and every single man to come to a Forge meeting. Tuesdays are in Winter Springs at Willow Creek Church. And then Thursdays they're at St. Stephen's in Longwood, 7 a.m. And just having that regular gathering of men in Christ, and there's men of all stages of their salvation. It just goes back to that, the passage in Proverbs, it's iron sharpening iron. It really is. My sword gets sharper each and every single week that I'm in there with Pete and those men.
Now you're still a professional wrestler. You're still involved in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that you're able to juggle the trips and all of that with this?
Well, right now we are not we're not actively traveling. I haven't been on an airplane in 14 months.
that's right. COVID has really put the hurts to all of that.
It sure has, but it has allowed me to be able to be more active in my community, active in my faith, and, you know, and just being able to have more family time as well. I have a 2-year-old son, and I've just been able to spend so much time around him. And, you know, my other two children, I was on the road constantly, you know, whenever they were born. My second child, he was born, and the next day I was on a plane to Germany. You know, it's just the life that you kind of choose to live when you get involved in pro wrestling. So it's really, I truly believe that what the enemy makes for evil, that God can turn for good. And this is, you know, this whole situation has really been made to be good for me and my family.
Now, in the wrestling world, are there lots of believers that would be like you?
There is a good amount of believers, and we actually have, I'll have a monthly meeting with other believers, and we've been able to lead some men to accepting Christ in their heart as well, which has truly been incredible. I'm not going to, you know, put on a front. It is a very secular industry, and, you know, godly values are not necessarily promoted within that realm. But I believe that God has put me here for a time such as this, and I'll stand on his word and contend for righteousness until he returns.
Well, I tell you, you have a good reputation by those that know you, people that I've talked with that know you, that they just think the world of you.
That's great. Wow.
And it really means a lot to have that kind of friendship. And again, I don't think that's just for people who have a secular business or in the secular entertainment world as you are. I think that's everybody.
Sure.
We all need that, man.
Absolutely, we do. Very much so.
And, you know, this helps me to get to meet you and talk with you. I'm going to be praying for you because I want to see the light of the gospel go into those places too.
Amen.
And you're able to take it there.
Thank you, Mike. I truly appreciate that. Yeah. I'm just praying for God to use me however he sees fit.
Yeah. That's it. You know, my mind is so exploding today with images of growing up, because I too came from Southern Indiana.
Right.
And we find out we share a common road between our two cities, and that would be Highway 41 North.
Yeah, when I first broke in, every single Wednesday, I wrestled at the Coliseum in Evansville on 300 Court Street.
I have played music in that place more times than you can believe.
That's amazing.
It was used for wrestling. And I believe my dad went down there one time. I don't think I ever did, but I know he did. And it was used for wrestling events. Big time. And then it turned into like a music venue.
Right.
And that's where I played. I played there many times.
Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
It's
a very historic venue.
Yeah.
It surely is.
Yeah. When you're up on the stage, it feels like one of those great iconic stages that are out there. And Southern Indiana is a beautiful area. Of course, Washington is right on 41 as well, about 50 miles north of Evansville.
Yeah. In the Coliseum, I actually got my first payday in professional wrestling. You want to know how much I made my first time I got paid, Mike? $5 and a hamburger.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, sir.
You were rolling it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
You were deep in the catch-up there.
Yeah, gas money and food for the way home. So, yeah, it's incredible paying your dues and coming up in the wrestling business.
Oh, my. That is too funny right there. Yeah, this business is not for, I'm sure, the faint at heart in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Again, many people who watch it, they just go, oh, they're just putting on. But there's a lot there that you must be getting up on Monday morning after a weekend of that, and you're looking for the Bengay, right?
Absolutely. Not for the faint of heart. It's not for everybody.
No, I wouldn't think so. But it a lot of characters have really come up in the world of wrestling, and I think of the Jerry Lawlers and The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably one of the most recent big names that was there.
Sure, yeah, and he actually wrestled in the Coliseum in Evansville.
Did he really?
He did. A lot of people came up and came through that venue. So, like I said, incredibly historic.
I really did not know that.
Yeah.
And so this is good to say that a lot of good can come from wrestling. Look at Drake. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So are you traveling anytime soon? Will you see that? Does it look like because of just the recent good directions with things and businesses? Does it look like it might be picking up for this?
That I can't confirm or deny because I don't have knowledge of that. That's more question above me. Although what I am grateful for is that we live in the beautiful free state of Florida where we are mm-hmm. allowed to have events and allowed to have some people in the audience and just truly put some smiles on faces. So all of our efforts have been focused on being right here in the Sunshine State.
Well, that's really great. Now, I guess, what do your friends do in states where they're under lockdown? What have they been doing this last year?
The ones
year?
That wrestle?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they fly here every single week.
Oh, so they're still doing it, but yes. In the free states then.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and so instead of flying to a different city every week that they were used to, you know, someone that lives in Los Angeles, they're flying to Orlando every single week.
Isn't it funny to use a term like free states? Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I know that you have to define. Yeah, I thought we were always free. It's wild. It really is. So
I'm praying that we can once again become united in that freedom.
Amen.
But we're not there yet.
No, sir.
It's really, that's an interesting way to really hear the reality of how businesses like yours mm-hmm. are impacted. I hadn't really thought about that, but I know musicians across the world, they've been really impacted.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them are coming to Florida now with concerts as well.
Yes.
My goodness.
I'm really grateful for our governor and for our leadership that has, you know, followed the science and followed what is logical mm-hmm. and just allowing businesses to operate and allowing events to happen. And it's truly a blessing. You know, I pray for our leaders each and every single day as we're commanded to, that we may live quiet and peaceable lives. And I'm glad that we're here where we're at.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're here too. Mm-hmm. What would be your finest and first and maybe most memorable memory that you have from being at the Forge? What was something about that just struck you? It's like, yeah, this is it.
That Forge Men's Fellowship?
Yeah.
You know, just that each and every single week, what I love is that Pete, he and Kelly, you know, the two men kind of at the helm of Forge, is they commit so much time, so much of their personal time and efforts to what they call building great men as God defines greatness. When I first came to Forge, I was just there to have a cup of coffee and study the Bible, you know, because I just need, it was toward the beginning of COVID, and I needed to be able to just have that ecclesia, that gathering, you know, mm-hmm. just, you know, because digital church is it's a great supplement, but to me, it's like watching a fireplace on YouTube. You can see the fire, but you don't feel the warmth. We need to gather together,
well,
you know, we need to gather together. Man. And so just being there and Pete invited me out for breakfast, took some personal time with me to get to know me. I'm one of, my goodness, hundreds of men that are there. And he took the time with just a guy like me to get to know me and get to know how he can help me advance the kingdom of Christ.
Wow. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. That is one of the best illustrations I've ever heard, Mike, there. That is great, like a fireplace on YouTube. That's it. You see it, the flames, but you don't feel the warmth. Well, I hope you're feeling the warmth today with my guest, which is Drake Wirtz, and we're going to be back with him coming up in just a moment right here on Afternoons with Mike.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
I'm in the studio today with Drake Wirtz. Drake is a professional wrestler. As I've mentioned, he is the first in this line of business that I've ever had a chance to sit and talk with, much less interview. So this is really a lot of fun. Growing up in Indiana, had no idea that this young man that's sitting before me today, he hailed from Washington, Indiana, which is due north of Evansville, on famed Highway 41 in Evansville. You've heard this before. It's called Stoplight City, right?
Yes, very much. A couple stoplights.
Yeah. When they, the makers of the policy in Evansville determined that they did not want to have any drive arounds or any spurs going around Evansville, And so they determined to take a major north south route and put as many stoplights as they could. And truckers hate it, but it's still one of the most important routes north south. And they just have to go through Stoplight City.
You know what I miss about Indiana, Mike? The Casey's General Store.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why, but yeah, something about the Casey's General Store, the pizza that they have there. It's unlike any other. It really is.
It really is nice. Yeah. And, you know, another thing about it that I do miss, and I never thought about this when I was growing up, but those beautiful cornfields of Indiana, you know, those were just gorgeous. And you would be driving there on 41 and for miles after miles, you take that for granted. And now I don't have that.
I don't see that. Yeah. My first job, actually, when I was 14 years old, I would get on the bus in Washington at 4:30 in the morning and go towards Lawrenceville, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And we would detassel corn all summer, 1997, detasseling corn all summer. And I saved up enough money to buy a PlayStation 1 and the WCW Monday Nitro video game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Wow, that's really great. And all of that because of corn.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's a lot of corn products, even fuel that they've made from up there in Indiana. And there's just so many wonderful little things. But again, going back to wrestling and seeing the fact that you kind of grew up and got into that business, I guess the first question I would like to say is, how did that happen? How did you get into it?
Yeah, well, there was several local independent organizations that operated out of the Indianapolis area. I'd moved up to Indianapolis whenever I was 8 years old. And me and a couple friends, we would just stay after the events. And these are small, intimate atmospheres. This isn't like the giant arenas. These mm-hmm. are in National Guard armories. A couple of them were in old closed down grocery stores. And we would just stay after the show, almost like in the music industry when you want to get to know, you know, the roadie or whoever's on the stage crew, just to kind of get a foot in the door. And then, you know, we would help tear down the ring and we got invited back. And I just went to a wrestling school, learned how to wrestle. And while I was a sophomore in high school, every single Wednesday was driving down to Evansville and paying our dues, you know, getting those $5 paydays with the hamburger mm-hmm. and getting knowledge and getting experience. And before too long, you know, just having the right people see your work, it's very equivalent to the music industry, having the right people see your work. I'll never forget in 2006, I got contacted by a promoter in Philadelphia and they said they wanted to fly me out there to have an event. And ever since then, never looked back. You know, I was just like, wow, here I am a kid from Southern Indiana and somebody's buying an airplane ticket to have me go do what I love.
And they had seen you somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so getting discovered like that, that is really an amazing, I would think a very chancy risk, like it never happens. I mean, how do you get your name out there in the professional wrestling world?
At that time in the mid 2000s, the DVD market was very huge.
Okay.
So getting on a good DVD and having that get distributed, you know, all around the world. Shortly thereafter, I got contacted from an organization in Germany. So now I'm able to fly international mm-hmm. and do, you know, I've spent time in Germany, Japan, Mexico, Scotland, and England, essentially on another man's dime, you know, because of what the talent that the good Lord blessed me with, that I was able to do and go live my dream of traveling the world, being a professional wrestler. Nowadays, it's a little more complex, but just with the advent of social media, you know, the guys that are on the lower independent circuits, it's, you know, it's pretty easy for them to kind of get themselves out there. You know, even before my time, you had to send in mail in a promotional VHS tape with, mm-hmm. with an 8x10 picture.
And now and I guess you just send an MP4.
That's it.
And that's what they do.
Yes, sir.
And so you get a video made that way and it still gets distributed just differently. But what goes on at a school? You said you went to school to be a wrestler. What do you learn there? What do they teach you?
Yeah, you learn how to take the bumps, which is the falls, into the ring. You learn how to run the ropes. You learn the ins and outs, the psychology of professional wrestling, which is the main thing that people need to learn is yes, if you can do cool moves, that's great. But at what point are you going to incorporate those moves? And the root of pro wrestling is storytelling. You know, it's good versus evil. That's a story that you're projecting, and just kind of learning the ins and outs of that. And what we like to call paying your dues, building the ring, setting up the ring, carrying luggage for the more established talent. You know, stuff like that.
So I know there's a part of this that is pure physical, and we know that there are, again, injuries that do happen. But there's this other side of wrestling that boxing does not have, and that is the storytelling aspect that you're bringing, and kind of almost the colorful characters that it seems that the wrestlers develop. It seems like that would be a difficult thing to find your own identity, and because so many of them look alike. So how does that happen? Some people are able to carry off a character better than others, I would imagine.
Very much so. Some people have more colorful characters. Some people are a little more outgoing. I know whenever they came, when I was a in-ring competitor, when the red light came on, I was able to just kind of turn it on. I don't know what it was, but I would just, the best way that a lot of people find success in pro wrestling is they just, they incorporate what their real personality is and they just turn it up 10 levels, you know, and just, I always like to be what they call the baby face, the good guy.
Okay.
Because when I hit the curtain, I was so happy to be there, genuinely happy to be there. And people can tell the difference if you're genuine or if you're just kind of just playing a role, playing wrestler, so to speak. If you're actually in there having fun and enjoying yourself, the crowd will build off of that.
So apart from being excited and having fun, did you have a character?
My character was Drake Younger. I couldn't think of anything better. My trainer just said, oh yeah, you're Drake Younger. Cause Wurtz, you can't put Wurtz on a billboard. It's people pronounce it wrong and it's incredibly German last name. So he's like, oh, you're Drake Younger. And I was just almost like the guy in the crowd, like a Rocky Balboa type,
but
an underdog. You know, just willing to go after, willing to take the fight to anybody, and we just keep coming back no matter what.
Oh, man, that's fun, and I'm going to have to look up. Are you on YouTube?
Drake Younger is on YouTube. I will tell you, Mike, there was a lot of death matches that I was involved in. A lot of blood and guts were spilled in those. So just to forewarn you, if you look me up on YouTube, there will be this guy that you're looking at here today. That was not me whenever I was active in the wrestling and being an in-ring competitor. That's why, you know, a lot of labels can get put on us, like, you know, Drake is a wrestler, he's a referee, or he's a deathmatch guy, or whatever it is. But the label that I'm most concerned about now is that I'm a deeply beloved, redeemed son of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and so, that, for that, we're very grateful. That is wonderful. You know, when I look back and I think of the injuries that I've seen in wrestling, where I know a lot of the moves are not what they are. I mean, it is a fair amount of acting that goes into this, but there are some times and there are some situations where an injury can be very serious. Were you ever really super hurt?
Very much so, yes. And I had, at one point, I had 60 stitches on my left arm through that took place in a no-rope barbed wire match. So if you can imagine this, they take the ropes down, Mike, and they replace the ropes with barbed wire.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so in 2007 alone, that was a rough one because I went to the hospital quite a few times.
Yeah, what could go wrong with that one?
There was, you know, matches that I did in Japan that where the ring was surrounded with light tubes, and there were scaffold matches and barbed wire board matches. You know, I really thank the Lord every day because I'm other than a whole bunch of scars, Mike, I'm pretty unscathed. Wake up in the morning and I'm, you know, I go to the gym, you know, 5-6 times a week, and I'm able to play with my kids and I'm able to walk normal and live a normal life. But for 12 years, I put my body through a lot of damage. I really did. So, you know, I thank God that his angels will guard me.
Yes, indeed. Now, one of the most famous wrestling events that I believe hit mainstream and the mainstream media picked it up, and it was on talk shows, and that would be this thing between the actor and Jerry Lawler, the actor who played, his name is escaping me right now, but he was the guy that did Mighty Mouse and all of that. Oh, my goodness. What's his name?
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
That's it. There you go.
1982.
Yeah. So that was probably one of the more talked about and maybe more famous events that happened that it would seem to me. Were those injuries that Andy claimed, were those legitimate injuries?
You know, he fooled everybody. Nobody knows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was such an actor that he laid it on for everybody. So that I do not know.
Oh, okay.
Obviously much more before my time. I haven't had the chance to talk to King Jerry Lawler about it. So
Is he still around?
He is. Yes. Oh. He's in the hall. He's a Hall of Famer, and he comes in from time to time to do announcing and commentating. And
yeah. I think he was down in Evansville too, I believe.
Oh yeah. Every single Wednesday.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Sure is.
Because a lot of people back before we moved to Florida, they would talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
so
yeah.
He was there. It's so crazy to talk with a guy like Drake Wirtz. He's my guest today. And you know, Drake, when we think about this kind of a lifestyle and people who are dealing with this week in and week out and, you know, the pain that goes along with this, and then you come along and you're doing all of this, and then it's in the middle of this lifestyle that God calls you to himself. So that had to be a weird transition, still doing what you were doing before, but now your heart is completely different. You're a new creation.
I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God. And, you know, the Lord had already been working on me because I transitioned from wrestling to being a referee, which was allowed me to have a longer career and still be able to provide for my family and be in that industry. But whenever I committed my life to Christ and I gave, you know, salvation to him, and whenever one of my greatest memories, Mike, and I've been in arenas in front of 78,000 people. I've traveled around the world. I've taken parts in WrestleManias and some of the biggest events that people work their whole life to be a part of. And I'm proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the coolest, I would say the coolest moment of my life, Mike, was watching my young children as they saw me get water baptized. And I'm kind of choking up just thinking about it because it just, you know, just them seeing me that, hey, Dad is a new creation. You know, Dad is a sinner saved by God's grace, and I'm giving him my life. And this is my, and I'm promising to raise you children in God's ways so that you can grow to be strong and confident men and women of God, and that you can do more for his kingdom than I can ever imagine. And, you know, just they were very young at the time, but just the joy on their faces, it was really cool for me to see. But whenever I gave my life to Christ, there were some people in the wrestling industry, you know, Mike, as you know, the world likes to make, they almost like to make fun of the term born again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's almost like something they just throw away. But I was truly born into a new creation in Christ. And, you know, I have not looked back since. I've just pursued him each and every single day and, you know, repented of my past failures. And, you know, the Bible says we don't know the day or the hour that he's returning.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming back for his bride. And until then, I'm going to keep contending for righteousness.
Well, you know, that is what you're doing, and that's what every believer has to do, regardless of what their background was, and regardless of the history or whatever that they've gone through. We are all in that boat together, and that's one of the beautiful things that you have found in your relationships there at the Forge. And just to really speak a word, I would like to echo what Drake was talking about earlier. This is something that's available to all the men that are listening. If you'd like to be in contact with Pete Owenson or one of the other leaders, Kelly, at The Forge, you can do that by just going online and search out The Forge Orlando, and you're going to find information about these meetings. I know when I talked to Pete last, I think there's one more meeting that's yet to get picked back up in the downtown area, but there are two meetings that are going on right now. And as you've already heard, and eloquently so, Drake has given us the true, and I would believe the real meaning behind the power and just the benefit of having men in your life on a regular basis that you can be real around and in front of. And that empowers you, gives you the strength then to do that with your own children. You're able to show them what a real dad is like because you're a real follower of Jesus.
I appreciate that. Yeah, forgetruth.com. For those that want to go and look at the times and locations. And if you're, you know, they also have Zoom meetings as well. But it's just incredibly vital for me to meet with those men at that table each and every single week and learn from Pete, you know, learn from our word where he can be able to really break down, you know, scripture in an applicable way. And it just, it sets us up to be able to go out into the city of Orlando, to our workplaces and to our families, and truly, truly be men of God and declare his kingdom.
That's wonderful. Drake Wirtz, my guest today. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the activities that Drake is a part of, and they really hold a lot of his heart, and he's excited about them. So don't go away. We're going to be right back. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you are in tune to The Shepherd.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back in the studio with my guest today, Drake Wirtz, and he's the guy that stands in the ring, and it's got to be a mixture of a lot of fun and I think downright terror at times, what you go through. There are other things that really have your heart, and this issue of some of the things that we can all do, whether it's a vocation or not, for them, it's an avocation for you.
Yeah, and as you said, I'm still involved currently in the wrestling world. My true passion, though, as a disciple of Christ, is standing up for the least of these, the children that are harmed in our community. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very much involved in raising awareness and raising funds to help fight human trafficking and child exploitation. And I do that through being the volunteer team leader here in Orlando for Operation Underground Railroad. And what they are, OUR is a 501c3 that started in 2013. And they work with local law enforcement and government agencies to simply combat human trafficking, prosecute predators, and bring recovery and restoration to the victims that have been harmed by this great evil. To date, Mike, they have assisted in the rescue of over 4,000 victims. Mm. They've assisted in the arrest and prosecution of over 2,500 predators and traffickers. And they're really doing the Lord's work with what they're doing in a topic that oftentimes gets dismissed or doesn't get brought up a lot. And it's very complex, just the issue of human trafficking and child sex trafficking. But they are also very involved here locally as well in Seminole County. What they do, a big part of their mission domestically, is they sponsor and train electronic storage detection canines. Now, these canines, they are trained to find hard drives and disks and computer materials that have basically material of child abuse, child sexual abuse, that these sickos that they hide in places that the most well-trained human officer cannot find. Mm-hmm. And so these dogs, we have one in Seminole County, Siri is the name of the dog that's on the force.
Isn't that funny?
Yep, Siri. And they're rolling out a huge canine initiative this year. These dogs can really help, bring justice and help prosecute these predators, lead to arrest, and bring freedom for the victims. Mm. So, human trafficking is a huge thing that I'm an advocate for. And, I want to give the folks that are listening just a couple of resources where you can learn more and to where you can find out what you can do. If you go to OURrescue.org and if you click Join the Fight, Operation Underground Railroad has a free certification class that they have online. It's about 45 minutes about knowing the signs of human trafficking. And that is an incredible resource to have. And then also there, you can join a volunteer team where we do different awareness events, fundraising events, educational events as well. And then I want you to plug this number into your phone. It's the National Human Trafficking Hotline. It's 1-888-373-7888. And if you ever have any inkling that something may be wrong or somebody might be a victim of human trafficking or sex trafficking, call that number. And a lot of people don't realize that Florida, a beautiful place, and we've been talking about it, how great of a life we do have here. It is the third in the nation for mm-hmm. rates of calls of the human trafficking hotline.
Yeah.
With our large agricultural area, our tourism, Sanford Airport, all the stuff that's, it kind of plays into to traffickers. It's happening right under our nose. And so, you know, this is something that as an abolitionist, I seek to do my part to support the frontline fighters mm-hmm. to fight this evil.
How do they weasel in to grab these kids like that?
Yeah. And a lot of it, you know, people have this conception that I know I did, that I thought human trafficking was like only took place like in the movie Taken, where you actually mm-hmm. have to, you kidnap somebody and, you know, you sell them on the black market or whatever it may be. That happens, but it's only about 3% of cases. A lot of what's going on now is, you know, they will take advantage of the most vulnerable, promise them a better life, promise them that they can provide for them, you know, especially people that came from a broken home or were homes where the father was mm-hmm. not involved. You know, like, it's no secret there's an attack on the nuclear family, you know, the Western prescribed nuclear family, mm-hmm. you know, keeping fathers out of the home and, you know, keeping God out of the home. It's not good because it leads to vulnerability to where these young men and women can be taken advantage of mm-hmm. by these pimps and these traffickers and these predators. So they coerce them into promising that they can have a better life, but they're forcing them to essentially have sex against their will.
And they'll use guilt. They use fear. They use all of the emotional hooks that they can to kind of keep them involved in it. And a lot of people fall into it. They think it's going to be great and they find out it's not great, but then they don't think that they have a way out or that it's possible for them to get out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just, you know, one part of the umbrella of human trafficking. Mm-hmm. You know, there's what I feel is the most evil, child sex trafficking. And then there's, you know, labor trafficking. And then overseas, there's a lot of organ harvesting, just really wicked stuff that I think we as the church should rise up and say, we're not going to stand mm-hmm. for this. And we're going to, you know, luckily here in Seminole County, our great Sheriff Dennis Lima, he's really dedicated to fighting human trafficking. And Detective Edwards of the Human Trafficking Task Force, it's amazing what he and his team have done. Just rescuing women out of this trade and just getting them into aftercare. And just, you know, I'm really grateful for them and their commitment to the fight. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's absolutely evil.
What are you seeing on your horizon right now with regards to being a professional referee?
Well, you know, Mike, as I've grown in my discipleship, I've learned to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Mm. And I know that God hates harm on children. And I think that the, you know, two greatest evils that we're facing here in Florida is human trafficking and also the evil of abortion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sadly, you know, Florida ranks third in the nation for abortion as well. Last year, 74,485 baby image bearers of Jesus Christ were murdered under the false under the false guise of reproductive health care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, what I'm going to be doing, myself and several other abolitionists, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be seeking out our Christian lawmakers and we're going to be praying with them and we're going to present them with bills that would abolish abortion. You know, in Exodus 20:13, it says, thou shalt not murder. You know, and in Psalm 127 says, children are fruit of the womb. They're a reward from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we're going to seek with them to abolish this evil, to put forth legislation that would nullify the iniquitous, the unjust, unmoral, unconstitutional, and ungodly opinion of Roe versus Wade, because that's not what we submit to. We submit to Jesus Christ. And so we seek to nullify that and to end the genocide of abortion in our state and in each and every single state, because, mm-hmm. you know, sadly, another 70,000 babies are going to be murdered in Florida this year. And it's something that we really need to stand up against. And what we're doing also is sharing the gospel outside of these abortion mills, you know, and just down the road in Altamont Springs at the All Women's Health Center, they call it. You know, they murder babies that are up at 24 weeks of development, you know, and I know there's probably good intentions behind legislation that seeks to kind of limit the when you can terminate a child. But to me and to other abolitionists, that just regulates murder. And I think we need to seek to honor God and not have any reverence or fear of what man can do with it to us, but have a reverence and fear of the Lord mm-hmm. and abolish this evil once and for all. So we're going to be working with our state legislature and just kind of urge them to get behind this tenet of abolitionism.
This is a time where the national scope has changed a lot in the presidential cycle that we've just gone through, a new administration in, and it's being often referred to as the, one of the most abortion-friendly administrations that have been there for some time. How is that impacting what you're seeing happen?
It's impacted incredibly. I mean, there is an attack on the unborn child from the federal level that I think we have never seen before. But more so what I think we can do, you know, on a state by state level, you know, here in Florida, we have a super Republican majority, and the Republican Party is the party that stands against abortion. So we can have the ability to end this evil if we just get behind the tenets of abolitionism and just gather that party together to be able to end this once and for all. But just the, you know, the funding that's going through to Planned Parenthood and ending Title 10, it's just been, it's been absolutely awful, the attack on the unborn child that's happening from the federal level.
Explain, if you will, because you've used this term a number of times, in this context, what it means to be an abolitionist then.
Yeah, abolitionist, it's biblical. It means we seek to end each and every single evil that opposes God. And, you know, William Wilberforce was an abolitionist.
Yes.
You know, and in 1807 on the Abolition of Slavery Trade Act, after that was completed, he said, well, now what shall we abolish next? You know, and like I said, for me and for a lot of Christians, what we see as the two greatest evils are the murder of unborn image bearers of Jesus Christ and the horrendous evil of child sex trafficking. And so, you know, what we can do, you know, instead of regulating murder and saying, oh, you know, it's okay to murder image bearer of Jesus Christ if there's a heartbeat detected, or if they're, you know, above less than 20 weeks, you know, instead of going that route, you know, we've nullified, you know, the Supreme Court and the federal government in regards to marijuana laws and gun laws. You know, the federal government says you're not allowed to sell marijuana. Well, the states do it because they nullified that, that opinion. Why can't we do that with abortion? You know, and I'm not saying, and I'm so grateful for the God-honoring pregnancy centers. Just last weekend, Choices Friends Women's Clinic in downtown Orlando raised nearly $400,000 at their Walk for Life.
Yes.
You know, and they are an incredible organization. For 36 years, they've been showing the love of Jesus Christ to moms and dads. And it's amazing what these pregnancy centers are doing. And I've recently signed up to be a part of the Fathership Mentorship Program with Central Florida Pregnancy Center out of Deltona, just partnering with young dads, unexpected dads, and just showing them how incredible the gift of being a father is, and just how you will never regret choosing life for that beautiful baby. And I think in the meantime, if we are out at the, like what I like to call at the gates of hell, you know, pleading with these mothers and fathers, and doing so in a way to where we are showing them how precious life is. And just last Thursday, Mike, let me tell you this story real quick. National Day of Prayer.
Yes.
We had a National Day of Prayer meeting outside of the AWHC abortion mill in Altamont Springs. Probably 30, 40 Christians showed up. A young man, Willie Montague, is actually running for Congress in District 10 in Orlando. He actually came in his suit in the middle of the heat out there praying, preaching the gospel. There was a young man who came there with his girlfriend, and she was close to 20 weeks along. They knew it was a boy. He had already paid the $2,200 to have that child terminated. And I was praying with him, pleading for him from his car. He's at his car, and we're on the sidewalk, just letting him know how incredible it is to be a dad. And through that spiritual warfare that was going on, and just, and we had guitars, we had worship music, we were worshiping our great God at the gates of hell, declaring that this evil will end in our state and in our society. And lo and behold, a couple hours later, they came out and they went next door to the God-honoring pregnancy center, Life Choices. And they said they got their money back and they're going to keep their baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank God.
The gospel always works. So just one life saved each and every single day. is worth being out there. And I love the sidewalk counselors that are out there each and every single day. I mean, they're just amazing in the work that they're doing. Like I said, they're at the gates of hell declaring the gospel. So if you go to abolishabortionflorida.com, that is where you can get the drafted up abolition bill and where you can learn the tenets of abolitionism and learn how you can get involved in that fight as well.
Sounds wonderful. Our time is gone, but I've so enjoyed getting to talk to Drake Wirtz today. God bless you, Drake, and we'll excitedly follow what God is doing through you and through this wonderful couple of organizations that you've just mentioned to us. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mike. I'm honored that you would have me. God bless you, sir.
And friends, thanks for being with us as well. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.